This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City, and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts on your Sunday morning. A little cloudy, but that's okay. It's a nice day. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well, at JedRow24. We're live in the Rally House Studios. Beastie Boys, yes? I saw your t-shirt. I have the same Beastie Boys t-shirt, but I have it in gray. But I accidentally, when I washed it a couple of years ago, I think I got some, I don't know, bleach or something on it in the wrong, so it's got some spots on it, but I still wear it. I love it.
Yeah. Did you get yours at Target also?
I did, yeah. For like $5 or something.
Yeah, sounds about right. I never got a chance to see the Beastie Boys live. I always regret that.
Yeah, me too.
My buddy Jason Shanker, who's a doctor, it's always weird saying that, but he saw them, I think, three different times. And one night we went to 311 concert, got like poured down, got super wet. He gave me a Beastie Boys shirt that's so cool. It's like an old school ABA logo and whatnot. And I tried for the like whole night to steal it and be like, yeah, man, I'll get it back to you. He tracked me down for like 6 months. He's like, dude, you have that Beastie Boys shirt? I'm like, yeah, I'll get it to you, man. It's dirty. He's like, I'll wash it. Don't worry about it.
If I finally
got it back.
If I'm ever in Target, I roll through that little t-shirt section. And if there's any Beastie Boys, I have two or three Beastie Boys t-shirts. Plus, I have an Adidas tracksuit, which is just awesome.
For Run DMC. Yeah, the Target
Beastie Boys rock the Adidas.
It's true, they do. They never rock Fila, that's right. Target t-shirts for like $5. I got a couple of Arrested Development t-shirts. I got a Grateful Dead t-shirt there.
There you go.
That's David, if he got any t-shirts.
I will. We're going to bring in David Leske from Baseball Prospectus, BP Kansas City. David, first of all, did you enjoy our brief conversation about Beastie Boys t-shirts and our love of the Beastie Boys? Did I hit the wrong? I hit the wrong button. Hang on. Sorry, David. There you go. Sorry, you have a host here who's punching the wrong buttons in here because I'm a little bit stupid. But hopefully you enjoyed our conversation about Beastie Boys t-shirts.
Well, you're just too busy talking about them to know how to bring me on. So, I don't blame you. I would talk about them for hours as well. So
yeah.
It all works out.
Well, I think Nate Buchady saw the Beastie Boys many years ago in Kansas City, and I was always hoping they would come back, and they didn't. And then when MCA passed away, as soon as that happened, I was like, wow.
It's been like 6 years.
It's been a long time. I believe he had throat cancer.
Yeah, it honestly seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
It does not seem that long ago.
Yeah, I could watch their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction all day, every day. Or the other one, you can't say the name of it on the radio, but I can edit it. It's called Awesome I blanking shot that, where they gave out several cameras to people in the crowd and they just shot whatever random video they wanted to and then they edited it all together and it was awesome.
Why can't you say that on the radio?
Well, there's a different name. There's a different word that goes in it.
You've got the FC. I get it.
Yes.
I get it. There's a governing body.
Yes. There are people listening in the government, and if you mess up, they will be there with their hand out waiting for a check, and then I'll probably be fired. So,
small things.
Well, speaking of people not getting fired, the Kansas City Royals, because you can't just fire people, and one guy who's making a case that he should get a job extension is Mr. Brad Keller. After the Royals 3-1 victory last night over the Chicago White Sox, just, I think, the third in the last nine games. And look, Brad Keller wasn't lights out. It was only five innings, and it took him 96 pitches to get there. That's fine. He had a pretty good strike-to-ball ratio. Five strikeouts, no walks, one run, seven hits. He had to work out of trouble a lot, which is why the pitch count got up. But he's the only starting pitcher with a winning record. And I was just looking at a number from Jeffrey Flanagan on MLB.com. Oh, geez. This is what happens. As soon as I try to scroll, the screen goes blank. Here it is. Keller.
Jesus.
Keller has allowed 8 earned runs in 24 in a third innings in after his first 5 frames and one run ball. And then, we talk about rookies? 14 starts now for Keller. He is second in the American League amongst rookies to reach 100 innings this season. And he has an ERA of 3.32, which is also second among AL rookies with at least 10 starts. And I said this earlier to Jeff. Look, he wasn't on some hot tip chart. He He wasn't in the hot 100 prospects, but the Royals scouting staff looked at the Reds, saw a guy they liked, they went and got him, and he's pitching pretty good.
Yeah, you know, he was in the Diamondbacks organization last year.
Right.
The Reds picked him in the Rule 5, I believe. And the Royals
yes, that is
Reds.
Correct.
And then it's interesting because he was middling. I mean, he was not a guy who, I mean, he wasn't worth protecting on the 40-man roster. So
right.
He clearly wasn't on prospect radars. But he does something really well, and he throws a really heavy fastball. He's able to keep hitters off balance. And what he's done recently is last, I think, 4 starts or so, he's actually started to get some swings and misses, too. He's got a 10% swinging strike rate, which is probably a little below what you'd want from a guy with his fastball, but it's better than it was. He's striking hitters out a little bit more. And last night was really encouraging because it seems like he has some command issues at times, which he's 22. So, I mean, most 22-year-olds have command issue at times. But he didn't walk anybody. Just really, really solid start. And you look at that and you go, okay, well, if that's his A game, he's never going to be much, you know, 4 or 5 starter. But if that's his B or C game, I mean, look, you might be looking at number 3. You might be looking at number 2. I mean, I don't think he is, but...
on this team, he might be.
Well, on this team, he might be number 1. Jeez. but that's all... but yeah, he's put in a really nice season for the Royals, and he's not going to win Rookie of the Year or anything, but he probably should get some down ballot votes. I would imagine if he finishes well. I mean, we're looking at what they have 40 games left ish, something like that.
Yeah.
He should get 7-8 more starts. If he can throw up another, I don't know, 40 innings, similar baseball. You look at a rookie with 140 innings and a 3.3 ERA.
I'd take that.
Especially on a bad team. So he's a really nice building block. You know, I'm still not 100% sold that he's a starter long-term just because of the command issues. But he's definitely a big leaguer. And I wouldn't say I'm 20% sold. I'm probably closer to 80% sold that he's a starter. So
sure.
It's a really nice find for the Royals in the Rule 5. It's funny, too. We've talked about this a little bit, but we all thought Birch Smith was going to be the guy, and he hasn't. And Keller's been really, really good. I remember I saw Keller in spring training, and the biggest concern I had, I was surprised. Out of the windup, he threw a 96, 97, and I thought, I didn't realize he could do that.
Right.
But then he went to the stretch, and he was averaging 90, 91. And so I thought, well, that's not going to work.
Right. You can't have that big of a discrepancy.
Right, and I saw him twice in spring training live, and that happened both times. And so I thought, well, that's bad. And then as soon as I got home from Arizona, there was a game on television, and he's out of the stretch throwing 97. And so I thought, well, I guess I just saw the wrong show. but yeah, he's been really impressive. Last night was no exception, and it's good to have a bright spot because there haven't been many this year.
We're speaking with David Leske, who writes for Baseball Prospectus, BP Kansas City. You can follow him on Twitter, at DB Leske, DBLESKY. Another note on Brad Kelly. You mentioned, is he a starter long-term? And we had the discussion several weeks ago when he was working out of the bullpen and the Royals were kicking around the idea, should we put him in the rotation? I think we are. And it was kind of like, no, leave him alone. He's having success. But, you know, he's made 100-plus starts in the minor leagues. If there's a season to take a look, if there's a season to kick the tires, this is the one. And so I think it's worked out well in the Royals' favor. I wanted to back up to one thing you mentioned. You talked about him having a heavy fastball. And for some people, it may not make sense. If one guy throws 96 and the other guy throws 96, it should be the same. And I can only tell from my limited experience playing American Legion ball. That's the highest I ever got. But you would face guys who threw about the same velocity, but some guys it was like hitting a bowling ball.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's caused by – maybe we have more information now. I don't know if that's caused by spin rate. I don't know what causes it. But there are guys, it's like taking a sledgehammer and trying to hit a block of cement versus something that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's spin rate. Some of it's just the way it kind of bores in on you. It's interesting. You look at a guy like Ronaldo Lopez. I think he's starting today, right?
Yes.
He threw 96, and – sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's an easy 96 to hit. I mean, it's on a platter. You think about Brandon Maurer. When he's struggling, he's throwing 96, 97, but it's just straight as an arrow. There's no movement, easy to pick up. With Keller, and to an extent, Heath Fehlmeyer as well at times, their fastball is just, they seem to play up a little bit just because they're just tougher to hit. And, you know, I think one of the trends in baseball right now is there's a lot of backing away from the fastball. The Astros, I mean, we think about Lance McCullers last year in the ALCS, finishing with, 24 straight curveballs, I think, against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the trend right now. And I honestly believe Keller, as good as his fastball can look at times, I think he'd be better served to go a little heavier on his slider. I think that would make his fastball play up even more and would get him even more swings and misses. So I think there's more inside, too, because of that, because of the way that fastball is just so heavy and tough to hit. But the more you see it, the easier it is to hit. So if he gives hitters a few less looks, I think that could actually even help him get better.
We're speaking with David Leske, who writes about the Royals for BP Kansas City Baseball Prospectus here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. You mentioned Brandon Maurer, and look, this bullpen has come under deserved criticism throughout most of the season, but some guys have picked it up and played better. You mentioned Brandon Maurer, who was on nobody's Christmas card list at the beginning of the year, but as noted by, and I credited Jeffrey Flanagan with some of those stats earlier. Actually, it was Max Gelman who was filling in last night, so those are where these stats are from. So in 9 appearances,
don't give Flanny any credit.
Exactly. Flanny's a good dude. But over the last 9 appearances since July 26, Brandon Maurer has given up just 1 run in 9 combined innings while striking out 13, and he got in trouble last night giving up a leadoff base hit and then struck out the side after that. So Brandon Maurer has pitched a little bit better.
He has looked better. I believe in those 9 innings, he's walked 7. So
that's not good.
Not
yeah.
Not all daisies there, but he has looked better. The slider has been really tight, and that's a big thing for him because again, his fastball is not great. It's a very hard fastball, but it's like we just talked about. It's a little easier to hit than a guy like Brad Keller, and he needs that slider to work. And when he's been good in the past, and he has been good. He's been off and on good throughout his entire career. There's a reason that he's still in the big leagues with his numbers. His slider is the difference maker. Last night, his slider was phenomenal. And part of it is the White Sox swing and miss a lot.
13 strikeouts for the White Sox last night. My goodness.
If you look back at some of the Royal starters too, if you look at their game logs on Baseball Reference and just go to the swinging strikes section,
right?
And you see, he got 17. Oh, it was against the White Sox.
right.
It's always against the White Sox that they have their season high in swinging strikes. So there's a grain of salt to be taken there, but they're also still vaguely a big league team. And so
right.
He still got the job done, and I guess I shouldn't say that as a Royals fan, considering they're like 7.5 games behind the White Sox. But now if his slider's working, he's as good as anybody they have out there, which is not. It's kind of damning with faint praise, but he's still probably their best reliever when his slider is working well. And when you can go a 7-8-9 and you can mix it up with Kevin McCarthy getting the ground balls and Maurer and Peralta throwing 97 and getting strikeouts, I mean it can look good. It's not a good back end of the bullpen, but there are games when you look at that 7-8-9 and say, well, geez, at their best, I'd match them up with not the top bullpen, but they could be a middle tier bullpen at their best, and really disappointing that they haven't been because the potential is actually there, and it's just they haven't been able to do anything with it.
We're talking with David Leske, writes about the Royals for Baseball Prospectus at BP Kansas City and at DB Leske, Lesky. As I looked at, since we spent a lot of time talking pitching here, as we looked at the lineup over the last week and a half or so, it looks like Ned Yost is giving in somewhat at letting Adalberto Mondesi play more at short, even though Escobar still has to play every day for whatever reason. And he's reaching all of his monetary goals and getting $75,000 bonus checks every other week, but whatever. That's good for him. But Mondesi, it seems like it's more open. Okay, now he's going to play every day, and he's been playing pretty darn good. And I'll tell you what, not only did he have that home run a couple weeks ago, which was a monster shot, but I've been telling people going back since they signed the kid. The first time I saw him at spring training, and you've been down to spring training, they do those drills where they're standing at home plate, and then they have to practice, you know, running to first, making that turn, and going to second. Or they make it all the way to third. And when I watch those drills, even not going 100%, he glides like almost nobody I've seen, at least of this era. Perhaps a Willie Wilson had that glide. Gerard Dyson, I think, was just pure speed. I don't think he necessarily had a glide. But Mondesi has one of the easiest and quietly speediest glides I have ever seen, and we're starting to see that now.
Yeah, he reminds me, when he runs, a little bit of Beltran, but faster.
That's exactly what he reminds me of.
Yeah, it's crazy. He can scoot, and he's fun to watch too, because
I think he is.
He's really good defensively. He's gonna make a stupid mistake, and look, he's gonna make an error that you go, oh my god, how did that happen? You are a big league player, but look, the other thing, I think I've mentioned this to you before. I know I've said this to other people. We in Kansas City, we haven't seen many rookies play in the last few years. It's been a lot of veterans, and I kind of feel like we've forgotten what rookie mistakes look like.
Right.
And it's really it's too bad, because I think Jorge Bonifacio got a little unfairly criticized last year because he had a little trouble adjusting to the third deck in the outfield.
Yeah, absolutely did.
He was looking a lot better when they traded for Cabrera and inexplicably took away his playing time. So I think that we've kind of forgotten that rookies struggle. Rookies do things that you say, how in the world my little league team can do that? And
right.
You couldn't. And so Mondesi will make those plays, but my God, he makes some of the greatest plays you'll see. I mean, he's got great range. He's got a cannon for an arm. And the bat's starting to come around a little bit. He needs to work some wash. I think he had one last night. His plate discipline is maybe worse than Perez, but it's still, he's got a lot of thunder in his bat. Very quick wrists, which I think allow him to make up for some mistakes that he makes offensively. But you know, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, because that walk rate will always haunt him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a chance to be one of the top six or seven shortstops. You know, he's not going to be Lindor necessarily, but he can be in that second tier very easily. And it's nice too. Every game he started over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, has been a shortstop. He's actually, since he came back, he was on the family medical list to be off for a few days after the break. Since he came back, he has started more games than Escobar. So. I think there was rightful criticism of the Mondesi playing time prior to the break, but since he's been back, I mean, the only time he's missed, really, he got a day off, and he missed two games because he had a little shoulder issue that I don't think he would have missed if the Royals weren't good. So
right.
It's really hard to complain about that right now, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
And he's still just 21 years old, which I always have to remind myself, but there's that kid in, Washington, who's 19, who's dominating.
Juan Soto ruins everything for everybody.
Yeah, and just a heads up, Rudy Salazar is going to have baseball tonight coming up at noon, but I just glanced at the Royals lineup today, and Mondesi is at short again. So that decision has been made.
And Escobar's not playing.
Yeah, and whether that decision was made by Dayton or Ned, it doesn't matter. Because now he's getting to play. A couple of final things for you, David, before I let you go. We're speaking with David Leske, who writes about the Royals for Baseball Prospectus, BP Kansas City. Follow him on Twitter, at DB Leske, L-E-S-K-Y. A couple of final things here. Milestone for Alex Gordon last night, or I guess he's coming up on a milestone. So his home run last night was the 168th of his career, now one behind Hal McRae for fourth place in Royals franchise history. We have to remember that Hal spent time in Cincinnati before he came here. Otherwise, he would probably have a lot more in a Royals uniform. But as we're closing in on what may be one more year left in Gordon's career, he's openly talked about the possibility of retiring, be with his kids. He's tired of the travel. But as of right now, I think we'd all agree, Alex Gordon is a Royals Hall of Famer. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not even close, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's not a discussion. Is he getting to the territory, or is he in the territory where someday there's a statue in the outfield with the other statues where he's got his, you know, hand pointed with the number one in the air for the home run he hit in the 2015 World Series?
I think yes. I don't know that it'll happen because, look, after 2015, when he signed that deal, it was a no-brainer, of course. Mm-hmm. And then he's just been not so great.
Right.
Now, this year, he's turned things around a lot. He hasn't been especially great offensively, but his defense has gotten back to elite level. Just a really phenomenal player. I think next year will tell a lot, because if he's used correctly, if he's platooned and you try to limit his exposure to lefties as much as possible, I think he could put together not a great season, but you could see him hitting like 260, 330 with a 400 slugging percentage. And if that's the way he goes out, you know, 8 to 10 home runs, something like that, playing great defense in 2/3 of the games, whatever it is, if that's the way he goes out, then I think that might change the perception. And I think, yes. Like I said, if it was me, I'd put the stature out there. I'd consider retiring the number. I mean, there's discussion.
There's
something about a player spending his entire career with one team. And Frank White did it. George Brett did it. And they're on the scoreboard. And people will hoot and holler about this, but I think Alex Gordon and Frank White are a reasonable comparison. They're both – Gordon's not quite as local as Frank White, obviously. But, I mean, he grew up a Royals fan.
Right.
And he grew up 3 hours from Kansas City. His brother's name is Brett for a reason. So,
right.
I feel like there's that connection, too. If you're top five in home runs, I think he's going to be top five in hits, probably, if he's not already. I haven't looked at the leaderboard. On a World Series champion – hit one of the defining moments of the World Series. I mean, I don't think they win the World Series if they don't win Game One like that.
I think
that demoralized the
Could
Mets.
Be.
And, you know, maybe the Mets still coughed it up the way they did, but if it's me, I'm definitely putting a statue out in the outfield, and I'm probably putting number four on the Hall of Fame.
All right, David Lesky, yes or no question, because I'm coming up on a break here. Yes or no question. The Oakland A's are now tied with the Houston Astros for first place in the AL West. And the A's are doing it on a, well, if you want to call $86 million a shoestring budget, you can. Do the A's or the Astros win the West? Which one? One answer.
You said yes or no.
Or yes or no. Okay. Do the A's win the West? Do the A's win the West?
No, I think the Astros, when they get healthy, will overcome the A's. But, man, it's a good story. And they have some 2014 Royals vibes to them for sure.
All right, David, thank you very much. I appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Brad.
All right, that's David Lesky, writes about the Royals for Baseball Perspectives. Follow him on Twitter, @DBLesky. A's payroll, about $86 million. Houston's payroll, about $186 million. It's a $100 million difference in payrolls. It'll be fun to watch. All right, we'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll have Jed Lines, and we'll kick around a couple of other things. We'll talk about big steps. Nate Buchady's run this morning, big steps for cancer prevention, so we'll talk about that as well. Got one more half hour to go. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well, live in the Rally House studios. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Bit of a club feel. I like that. Talking Heads, yes?
It is the Talking Heads. So one of our fine listeners who hits me up like every week on Twitter and asks about music and stuff, I had mentioned that I didn't know if I was going to be here because of prior commitments, and they were talking about playing Talking Heads and asking if I take requests, and I was like, no, I don't really do that, because I don't want people to tell me what music to play. That's one of the things I take pride in. But so anyways, they were like, what about some Talking Heads? And I was like, well, I might play, if I was going to play any, there are a couple that I like, but I'd probably play Phish's cover of Cities,
yeah,
which is one of their better things. But I was like, I can't play like a 19-minute
right
jam of Phish. So I just picked one of my favorite Talking Heads songs.
I saw, and by the way, this is Sports
hopefully
Sunday.
They're listening in a piece.
Yeah, applause. I like it. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me @BradKPorter. Jed Marshall is here as well. Follow him @JedRoad24. We're live in the Rally House studios. I saw an interview with David Byrne. I won't spend too much time on this, but I saw an interview with David Byrne several years ago, and I want to say, gosh, I think it was on Charlie Rose. I don't know if we're, can you talk about him anymore?
Nope.
Okay. It was on a
it's show. Too late now.
It was on a talk show of some kind. I thought it might have been his. But he was asked about the Talking Heads and, you know, would there ever be a reunion? And he's like, no, because I'm never playing that music again. And I get artists that want to move on with their lives. He does other music now. I'm sure he produces. He's in his basement somewhere. I don't know. But, man, there are people who appreciate what you do. And I like the artists that are not afraid to go back and play stuff from the past and don't run away from it. It's part of who you are. It's not who you are today. You have fans who would appreciate it. I guess you just have to go download the song, download the music, whatever it is. One note before we get to Jedlines, I want to say congratulations to Nate Bucati and his team at Big Steps for Cancer Prevention. They had their run and walk this morning out of the KU Edwards campus at 8 o'clock. I'm sure Nate was out there at 4 or 5 this morning. I know he's run the course a couple of times to make sure. They had to adjust it. He said there was a bridge taken out in the middle of the course they didn't know about, so they had to adjust the course. So Nate Bucati and all the good folks at Big Steps and all the people on the board, all the volunteers, all the runners, all the walkers, great stuff. And I know all the money stays here locally. All the money goes to cancer. Nobody takes a dime. And for all the people who support Nate, all the people that donate their time, whether it's T-shirts and medals or prize packages, whatever it is, job well done once again. And Nate does this year after year for his friend who lost his battle with cancer several years ago at far too early in age. But Nate Bucati, nice job. Jed Marshall, I know you were out there this morning. You delivered the runner's prayer. How fantastic is it to just be a part of that? That's just, I think it's awesome.
For me personally, it was really cool. I felt very honored. This kind of ruins the spirits of Jedlines because it'll be hard to then go to a fun segment. For those who don't know, I have a family member. My dad is fighting a battle against cancer. He has a glioblastoma. We found out about 2 months ago. So yeah, Nate, I told him that I wanted to help with the foundation, and he said, we'd love for you to read the runner's prayer. It was a real cool experience and everything. But Nate had said that it was the biggest outcome or, you know, turnout they've had to date. And it was really cool. A lot of good people out there. Ben Messner was out there, who's our production director. And I saw Jarrett Sutton, mm-hmm. obviously Nate, his lovely wife. I got to meet Sean's parents, Krista Patrick, Adam Dravetta, who was an intern here. Mm-hmm. It was real cool, real powerful event.
Good stuff. And Nate, again, job well done. I know you've been talking about it on the Border Patrol for several weeks, and you were kind enough to join us on the last couple of weekends. So congratulations, another job well done. And we'll look forward to next year because it's going to keep going. And for all the folks out there who are in the battle, this is one little part that's there to help the battle.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Brad, should we
do
Jedlines?
You want to do Jedlines?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Well, this is what we do on the weekends. We get to the last half hour of the show. We do a thing called Jedlines, where Jed Marshall picks out stories. They can be from sports or entertainment or just random things around the world. They could be fun, weird, wild, wacky. I don't know what the stories are. Jed will read the story, and then we'll react to it. So Jed Marshall, take it away.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Jed, line number one, obviously biggest news of the day. We touched on it pretty hard, but the Chiefs come to a one-year agreement or one-year deal with cornerback Orlando Scandrick. Reports say it's $1.5 million. We've talked about different variables with the numbers. Brad, your thoughts? Oh, I forgot to crumble the paper. I actually need to reuse these, but
okay. To me, it's a yawner. I mean, you're 31-year-old corner, 8 years in the league, miles on the legs. I know Nick Jacobs said, you know, in Dallas they used him a little bit differently, which is why he didn't have high interception numbers, but I'll wait for the next corner to sign. Not excited.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying I'm not excited. They need help. I don't think this is the answer.
So you don't think it's all fixed?
No, I do not. I think Brett Veach is up in that office today going over the waiver wires and texting people and setting up deals. A little horse trading.
You certainly hope so. All right, well, next Jedline. Okay. Brad, there's a lot of talk in the NFL about things that go on, you know, whether it's hazing, what they do with the rookies. It's obviously not nearly as bad as it was, at least we hope. What would you do if I told you that I was going to leave you with an $18,000 dinner bill?
not physically, but I would want to kick your ass. Okay, here's the problem. Do you want more to read on that? Or
yeah, I'll go ahead and push forward.
Okay.
LaDainian Tomlinson, this all came out because the Broncos players are complaining about how they had to get haircuts. So LaDainian Tomlinson said that he basically had zero sympathy because back when he was a rookie, he was hazed to the tune of a nearly $20,000 check. He said, quote, "The late Junior Seau and the veterans hazed me by taking me to dinner and spending $18,000 of my money." So he went on to say that he didn't say, but he was fortunate enough to earn $56 million. But he says, don't feel so bad about getting a haircut.
Oh, I'd agree with that. I wouldn't feel bad about getting a haircut. Didn't the Cincinnati Bengals, when they were on Hard Knocks, didn't the rookies have to get super awful haircuts?
Oh, they all have to do dumb stuff.
Here's the thing. It's been a tradition over the years for NFL players to stick a rookie with a large dinner bill. $18,000. I've seen ones where they take a picture and it's $40,000 or $50,000 because they're ordering, 10 bottles of wine and all the steaks and lobsters they can get their hands on. Here's why it's wrong. Because it teaches those young guys to just indiscriminately spend cash. And if you're on a rookie deal and say you make $3 to $5 million over that time, that money adds up quick. You don't get it after taxes, after paying your agent, if you've got family that needs help. Sometimes the guys don't have a ton of money. I don't feel sorry for them, but it's a terrible lesson to teach young players. Maybe it's funny. I don't know if there's an NFL player who wants to correct me, but I think it's a terrible lesson to send young players.
I think it's probably a bad message, too, when you look at the amount of players that end up in bad financial situation. But the spirit of it, I get.
It's
a team building camaraderie type thing. And you would assume that if it was, LaDainian Tomlinson played back in the days where rookies got guaranteed millions of dollars.
Right.
It's still good these days, but it's not like it was. Like, think about Jamarcus Russell, who got $63 million.
Well, yeah. So, if it was like Sam Bradford, who got, was it 90-something?
Something like
70-something
that.
Million. So he got the last
if
one.
If it's like that.
Okay, that's different.
I don't necessarily. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson went number 4 overall.
Right.
So,
but
yeah,
guys down
it
roster,
stinks. But, yeah, I don't necessarily. They're taking Jehu Chesson out and be like, sorry, buddy, $40,000 dinner.
It does happen.
Well, hopefully not.
Bad idea, jeans.
All right. Okay. Next deadline, Brad. The NFL's Kendall Wright is ordered to pay $40,000 in human stock exchange case. What do you make of this?
Human stock exchange?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't. Who's the player?
Kendall Wright, former Baylor Bear. He is now a Viking.
I have no idea what that means, human stock market. I don't know.
A judge has ordered Vikings wide receiver Kendall Wright to pay nearly $400,000 to a company that sells stock in professional athletes. Fantex, a business that makes deals with athletes to sell shares to fans who believe the athletes are destined for big paydays, sued Kendall back in January. They claim after they signed a deal with Wright in 2015 that offered to pay him $3.125 million dollars for 10% of his future earnings, he didn't pay up. Now a judge has signed off on an order in which the wideout will have to pay $386,055.83.
How much has he made in his career?
He's currently on the roster bubble after inking a 1-year, $1 million deal.
Okay,
with
here's
Minnesota.
I've heard of these deals before where companies, it's almost like an insurance company, but you're also betting on the player. So if they give the player $3 million up front, they sell shares in the player, and if that player makes $40 million, then everybody gets paid out. Okay. Now this happens in world soccer all the time. In fact, the Neymar over in Europe, the Brazilian star, there has been court cases over this because his agents were selling shares in the player. And what happens with the bigger players is they sell over 100%. They sell 200%. All of a sudden, people come asking for their money. They don't have it. I think it's a terrible idea.
I think it's a bad idea, too, but if you're the player, why wouldn't
you're getting money up front.
And why wouldn't you be betting on yourself, especially if you're a high-round pick like that? It does seem kind of like a payday loan
right.
scheme,
it is.
Though.
It's exactly what it is. And if the player, if the agents sell too many shares in the player, and there's not enough money to go around, and you're playing in, or you play for a team in South and Central America or other places in the world, people come after you, or they come after your family.
Yeah.
It ain't the New York Stock Exchange. It ain't Wall Street.
You don't think Pablo Escobar sold shares on the U.S. Stock Exchange, Brad?
He's selling a lot of things.
Well, that's between you and Pablo Escobar pal. All right, Brad, next deadline. Tiger Woods was in a chipping contest a few weeks ago with two other PGA stars. Who do you think won? Do you want to know the participants first?
Yeah, that would help.
Okay, he was in with Matt Kuchar and Bryson DeChambeau.
Ooh, a chipping contest?
A chipping contest.
Was this like for money or...?
It just says here that Tiger Woods really can't get off the golf course because he needs to keep playing because he can't win. Essentially, Tiger, Matt Kuchar, and Bryson DeChambeau headed out to the green as part of a private dinner after the WGC Bridgestone Invitational and went head-to-head in a golf version of horse. Tiger fell short, just like he did at the Open.
Can I guess who won?
Sure.
Matt Kuchar.
It was Matt Kuchar.
Okay. Well...
Don't feel bad for Bryson DeChambeau, though, because have you seen his, well, he wears that stupid hat, but have you seen his girlfriend, Sophia Bertolamo, or Lama?
Easy for you to say.
No, I can't really, so just Google Bryson DeChambeau,
like
girlfriend.
Him. You know why I like Bryson DeChambeau? One, I think he's kind of an exciting player. He gets really pissed off at himself, and he shows emotion on the course. Here's why I like Bryson DeChambeau. So we
stupid hat?
Stupid hat is fine. He stands out. Everybody knows who he is. He's got the Payne Stewart, wore the plus fours with that hat. So Bryson DeChambeau was at SMU, right? Won the national championship. Then SMU gets put on probation, and their golf team is banned from the NCAA tournament. He did nothing wrong, but he was not allowed to come back and defend his national championship. And I think that's crap. But anyway. So I like him.
I don't like him. He rubs me the wrong way.
Get screwed by the NCAA.
Yeah, get in line, pal. There are a couple of other people who I think could maybe have a couple of bigger complaints.
Plenty.
LeBron Jr., LeBron James' son, has apparently picked the right school, Brad. Do you know how old this kid is?
Oh, they've talked about him a lot, especially during the playoffs. Is he 13, 14?
Yes, he's... Oh, no, wait. It doesn't say here. He's not even... It's like basically... A middle school, high school combo school out in L.A.
Oh,
but this all coming from Shawnee O'Neal, who is Sharif O'Neal's mom, Shaquille O'Neal's ex-wife, I believe. Maybe current wife.
Okay.
But anyways, Sharif O'Neal is already a kid or has already gone to this school. And LeBron James thinks that he's going to get a bunch of good advice from Shaquille O'Neal's ex-wife and sons. Because they know what it's like having a superstar's offspring go to this high school, and they say it's very accommodating. So what do you make of this, Brad? It's called the school is called Crossroads, and I guess Shaquille O'Neal's youngest son, Shakir, is also enrolled. And he's 15 and already 6'3", so what do you make of all this?
Yeah, if you move to a new town, you always get recommendations. If you know somebody who lives in that town, you hit them up, or if you're close to certain players, that's fine. There was a former Royals player, and I won't give his name out over the radio, but I saw him during the playoffs in 14 and 15, and he and his wife were thinking about moving back to Kansas City, and he wanted to send his kids to Catholic school, and he said, where do your boys go to school? And I said, Visitation. Do you like it? Yes, it's a great school. So he was taking recommendations from people. And he said, hit him up for advice, recommendations. I'm sure it's a very nice private school.
I just think it's funny that the O'Neal family feels in a position to give the James family advice on what it's like to have superstar offspring. And I know that, Shaq's son, he was supposed to go to Arizona. I forget where he's going now. But, I mean, I know that they're all big-time basketball's the weirdest sport because you get hype at such a young age.
Right.
But it's like, man,
Shaq was
just
in Sports Illustrated when he was, 12 or 13? Shaq was
something
in
like that.
They did the best player in the country at every age, and he was like 12 or 13, and he was in Sports Illustrated. Pretty easy when you're already 6'10", 6'11", to pick that one out.
Agreed. All right, Brad, only a couple more. Do you want the good one, the bad one, or the funny one first? Or at least interesting one. I don't know how funny it is.
I'll take the good one first.
Oh, okay. Well, Alexander Ovechkin continues his great summer because he is now a father. He's living his dream on top of his winning his first World Cup. He has now welcomed his first child to the world. The Washington Capitals star is a new dad after his wife, Natasha Ovechkina, gave birth to their son on Saturday. His name is Sergei Sergei.
You're struggling
Ovechkin.
With your Russian.
Brad, what do you think of that?
Yeah, good for him. I think you meant Stanley Cup, by the way.
What did I say? World Cup?
Yep.
One of those international trophies.
We got soccer on the screen in here. Yeah, good for him. After drinking his way around the world for all of social media to settle down and help out changing diapers.
I don't know if he's going to end the party. All right, Brad, we'll go with the bad next.
Oh, okay.
UFC's Cowboy Cerrone almost dies in a cave diving incident. UFC legend Donald Cowboy Cerrone says he's lucky to be alive after a major disaster during a cave diving excursion in Mexico. But he basically said, quote, "Not today, mother blanker." What do you make of this?
Aren't caves supposed to be explored and not dived into? I know people do it. I've seen the videos, and sometimes they're very narrow. I don't want to do something where the margin of error is small enough that you wind up dead if you're off by a few inches or a few feet.
Well, apparently this guy is an avid cave diver, but he lost his line when he went in there, which... this dude really is super.
Oh, so he was like scuba diving or something in a cave. He wasn't like diving into a cave.
No,
He was like the scuba diving thing.
Yeah, scuba diving off the coast of Cozumel. And he basically got lost from his group and had no visibility and lost his line and somehow was able to make his way out. What do you make of this now?
Well, that's where those kids, that soccer team full of 13-year-olds got stuck in that cave because the water came up. It was monsoon season in the Philippines. Yeah, I've gone scuba diving before. I've done it a couple of times. Did it on the Cayman Islands, done it off Florida, off the southern coast of Florida. I love it. But cave diving, I don't know enough about cave diving to where I'm going to go pay to do it with no training.
I don't know. It all sounds terrible.
It sounds bad all the way around. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
All right. Well, this one involves underwater, but it's weird. 18-year-old student from Georgia, that's the country Georgia, a suburb, if you will, of Russia.
Former Russian Republic.
Yes. Solved 6 Rubik's Cubes underwater in only one breath on Friday in a bit, or he attempted to, but more of the Russian names. Vako.
Just give him a short name.
Vako is his first name. Was submerged in a glass tank for just over a minute and 44 seconds as he flipped, turned, and solved the cubes in front of a crowd in Chino Paradise Aquatic Park. And he essentially set the world record. What do you think about this, Brad?
It seems like an odd thing to dedicate your
life
to.
All of those Rubik's Cubes in that short of a time while underwater, I think that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I don't know how you wake up one day and think, God, I'm really good at Rubik's Cubes. I like being in the water. What if I solve Rubik's Cubes under? My brother can do Rubik's Cubes. My kids can do Rubik's Cubes. I could never do it. I could do the pyramid one.
I can't do any of them. Anyways, those are Jed lines.
All right, thank you very much. We're coming up on a timeout here. When we come back, I'll add one more odd headline from the world of golf. Somebody got hurt seriously at a golf course because a golfer threw a hissy fit. Plus, we'll wrap up the day's news for the Chiefs, Royals, and Sporting KC. Back after this, you're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Final couple of minutes for this edition of Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well at JedRow24. Who is this, Jed? I should know. Is this Big Head Todd?
No, this is the string cheese incident.
Oh, God, I shouldn't have. God, they've been around for so long.
I don't think you should have known that.
No. Got a little Big Head Todd sound. Or maybe Big Head Todd sounds a little like them. The voice.
Maybe a little bit. String Cheese is a hippie band, Brad.
Yeah. They've been around a long time.
They have been around. Most of the hippie bands are around for a pretty long time.
there's not a lot of up and coming hippie bands.
I mean, there are a few, but if I mean, you don't normally just like the Grateful Dead toured for like 40 years. If that's kind of the genre and sound you're going for, you're not like, we just did it for like 5 years.
Good show today. I want to thank all of our guests. Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, also part of the new podcast over there called Fourth and One, talking Chiefs football. Also, thanks to Alec Troost from the Blue Testament. Does a lot of good stuff covering Sporting KC and Major League Soccer. Follow her on Twitter at Trost Alley, TROSTALY. Also, Nick Jacobs, you can follow at Jacob71. And also thanks to David Leske from BP Kansas City, who writes about the Kansas City Royals. Follow him on Twitter at DB Leske. And if you missed any of that today, it will be available in podcast form on 810WHB.com.
Yeah, the first 2 hours are done. This hour is not podcasted yet because we haven't completed it.
Okay, so if you need, if you want your Chiefs fix, get that first hour with Nick Jacobs. We talk about the Chiefs signing of Orlando Scandrick this morning, and is there still work to do among the defensive backs? Are there additions that still need to be made? Spoiler alert, yes. But a more detailed and nuanced conversation with Nick Jacobs, you can get that podcasted at 810WHB.com. And Allie Trost talking about Sporting KC, that is available as well as we talk about last night's 3-0 win out at Children's Mercy Park. So those are the big news items of the Orlando Scandrick signing with the Kansas City Chiefs, spent 8 seasons with the Dallas Cowboys, was in camp with Washington, and then he got cut on Tuesday and signed by the Chiefs today. Jay Gruden, the head coach at Washington, saying Orlando Scandrick was not cut for performance issues. It was because they had other younger defensive backs that they believed in and wanted to play. So I still think Brett Veach is going to be burning up the phone lines, working out deals, looking at free agents, looking at the waiver wire, bring some other people in because that ain't going to solve it. Sporting KC, 3-0 over the Portland Timbers last night at home. It was a brace. 2 goals for Diego Rubio, who's doing everything he can to lock down a starting spot. He's been the super sub most of the season, but playing better as a starter lately. And Johnny Russell scoring in the 69th minute. So I am setting my alarm tomorrow. I got to get up like at 4:45, and I cannot wait for the Border Patrol at 6 a.m. because they've got a couple of things on their plate. Patrick Mahomes throwing a 69-yard bomb. Johnny Russell scoring in the 69th minute. And if Gary Lezak has any kind of a forecast or a current temperature of 69 degrees, this station might absolutely explode.
Yes, sir!
Royals baseball today, Royals and White Sox at 1:10 p.m. First pitch in the Central Time Zone. Heath Fillmyer versus Reynaldo Lopez. Rudy Salazar coming up next with baseball tonight. My name is Brad Porter. Follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. Follow him at JedRow24. You've been listening to Sports Sunday. Appreciate you joining us, and have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.